Good afternoon and welcome to Voice of the Public from KRWG Public Media. It's 106. Today, a candidate forum for the contested races for Doñana County Commission in Districts 4 and 5. We'll begin with District 4 and Republican candidate Stacy Durham. Welcome to KRWG, Stacy. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about your background and what qualifications you bring to the Doñana County Commission?
I'm a graduate from NMSU, and I moved here when I was 13 years old, back in 1979, with my parents. My father's retired military, and my mother is a retired assistant manager from a department off of White Sands, Missile Range. She just recently retired, but I have been married here. I was raised here. I lived in California for a very short while, briefly, throughout my like 90s through the 1990s, and I have a degree in business and anthropology and museum conservation. So I have actually a bachelor's in independent studies. Interdisciplinary studies, and I would like to use my visionaire as a tool to advance into the immediate future, you know, for the next 4 years, maybe 8 years, possibly through the election, hopefully, as a commissioner. I would like economic development. I'm working on community programs for public health and safety, and I'm also interested in senior citizens and education.
It sounds like you've listed some issues you feel are important for the county to address. Would you say those are the most urgent issues facing the county, and maybe you can give us a little bit more detail on why that would be?
Yes, obviously, economic development in this location of Doñana is extremely important. Most of the residential area in my district is going out on Highway 70 out towards Alamogordo, and so there is a large amount of growth as far as residential is concerned. But with the pandemic plaguing our district, I feel that the economy should be addressed in more aspects than just, you know, there's a lot of low income here, and I think that if we worked on some type of economic growth so that we could actually generate revenues and employ people, that would be not just helpful, but it would be extremely important to be able to advance to the next level.
You mentioned the number of folks who would be considered low income. How do you plan to address the need for affordable housing?
Well, that's a good question. At this point, housing is, you know, there is no lack of housing out here. The properties are fairly priced. As far as low-income housing is concerned, you can't discriminate against people's income to acquire a home. So I personally think that it's probably a wise thing to do to invest in your own property, opposed to building government housing or whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that, But there's a lot of opportunity to be able to afford your own housing, your own property, and the right to ownership. So I would definitely address that as an issue, and I would make it clear to most public peoples that the opportunity is there. All they have to do is ask.
And on another level altogether, homelessness is an important issue in Doñana County. And what do you think the county could do to reduce homelessness?
Yes. First of all, that is a public health and safety issue more than it is an economic issue. I think that homelessness should be addressed in the fact that let's face it, we need a homeless shelter for resources and the ability to reach out to public to make these resources available, and by giving the public interest the ability to ask how to acquire available housing or to address that issue on their own is extremely important. And so therefore, I think that homelessness can be addressed easily in Doñana, unlike most places in this country. But like I said, places are really easily affordable. They just have to reach out and ask for help. The resources are there, and they are available. I think that, for the most part, a lot of people will go to that place, I guess the soup kitchen or Casa La Grinda's, and for socialization. We don't have a whole lot of socialization in Doñana, and I think that should be an issue as far as economic development is concerned, that should be available to allow other people, and education is also the issue. If we have places for them to go and venture, seek out adventure, I think the idea and the concept of homelessness would be less in our district than it really is.
Okay.
I think it's less of an issue than it is.
Okay, thank you. And the County Triage Center has been an issue for several years. It looks like things are finally starting to happen there. What measures do you think the County Commission should be taking to ensure that it serves the purpose it was built for?
I think with all the rioting that's been going on and such, and the police reforming that we are planning on doing, New Mexico has addressed that issue quite abruptly and quickly. So I think that when a phone call, 911 phone call has been made, and the police approach a home, a resident, I think that they should have when the police go to a home to address a violent issue or some type of issue, I think that they should have a counselor ride with them, like a ride along. And I think that at that point, when I don't think that the police should be the one that make the decision whether or not the person that the police have been called on should be going to seek out counseling. I think that at that point they should address that issue immediately, and that way we can get to the very heart of the matter. These people, when they call the police, they are reaching out for help, and I think that help should be readily available. And since we do have a triage center, we should use it. If they are criminally insane at the time, they should be treated with respect, and so that we could actually de-escalate the situation and get them the help that they need, because it's not beyond repair. We have a triage center because we honestly believe that people can be helped, and when they seek out that help, they should be given the respects.
You touched a little bit on my next question, and that was what your ideas are for improving policing in Doñana County. Are there other areas where you would look to see reforms take place?
I personally have never had any problems with the police. You know, there are people that are afraid to call the police. I personally, as commissioner, would do outreach programs. I would frequently have, the police visit elementary schools and junior highs and talk with the classes when we go back to school or have like little field trips or whatever. And I also thought that maybe we could have like job fairs, so that they could, get together with community and build a relationship with communities so that the children or the families, whether it be male or female, would not be afraid to address a police officer in an escalated situation. They need to know that they're a little more, that they can be friendly. They are not friends, but they are there on a professional call, and they need to have that situation addressed before any phone calls are made to de-escalate situations and such. I think that having hot dogs and hamburgers and community services and building community relationships is extremely important for the residents of neighborhoods and the police. I think that it's good to interact, and therefore I would definitely suggest at least once a week in a different location, getting together and having some kind of fun.
All right. Recycling is now a joint venture between the city and the county. Are there other ways that you think the two entities should be coordinating services?
Well, as far as recycling is concerned, I'm not sure if you're limiting that question to just throwaway trash, or if you're talking about recycling houses or trailers. Could you clarify that for me?
Right. Recycling services. So for our plastics and our cardboard and our tin, that recycling, the everyday that is now a joint city-county venture. But beyond that, do you think that it's a good idea for the city and county to share resources and coordinate services? And would you like to see that expand into other areas?
Sure. Yes, I do think it's a good idea, and I think that we everybody in our county should be involved in that. When we do, like cardboard drives or plastic drives, we should do that and use those resources as a way to communicate with the community, so that we could build up our schools, get the equipment for our children, new computers or pencils or books. We could have book drives and stuff like that. I've always participated in recycling, and I think everybody else should too.
All right. Stacy Duron, thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you.
This is Voice of the Public on KRWG. Today, a candidate forum in the contested races for Doñana County Commission in Districts 4 and 5. Our next candidate is running in District 4, Democrat Susana Chaparro. Welcome to KRWG. Start by telling us a little bit about your background and what qualifications you bring to the Doñana County Commission.
Sure. Good morning, Casey. My name is Susana Chaparro, and I'm the Democratic nominee for County Commission District 4. At present, I am a corporate interpreter, and I have an interpreting firm here in Las Cruces and a trial consulting firm here in Las Cruces. Been interpreting for many, many years, was one of the first licensed in New Mexico. I really like my job. I enjoy learning from people and helping people. In the last few years, that's what I've been doing. I'm also the former president of La Casa Inc., which is the largest domestic violence shelter in the entire state. And during the first term at my presidency at La Casa, we were awarded the Small Business Non-For-Profit Award from the Hispano Chamber. I'm also the former vice chair of the Democratic Party. I'm a former magistrate judge where during my tenure as a judge, I heard thousands of cases, and I specialized in domestic violence because that's always something that's been near and dear to my heart, and established the first domestic violence court in the state of New Mexico. And as a judge, I was also the first judge in the nation to have Spanish speakers participate in jury trials. And I'm very proud of that. It's been a long time. I've worked for a long time, and I'm a hard worker. And I hope to continue my service in the community as County Commission District 4.
And what do you think are some of the most pressing issues facing the county and your district in particular?
Well, in visiting my district in the last few months, I mean, because of this COVID pandemic, we've been unable to knock on doors and really meet or have any face-to-face town meetings, at least within my district. And I've been traveling throughout my district, visiting Metro Verde, visiting Butterfield Community Center, going up into Oregon, coming down to Sonoma Ranch. And at least in the East Mesa, what I'm seeing is as I'm running into people while traveling and using my mask, of course, doing it in a very safe way, there's a lot of roads up in the East Mesa where people can't get to school, where children can't get to school. We still have a lot of flooding. There was a dam that was just constructed up there, and hopefully that will alleviate some of the problems. But I think infrastructure is one of the things that is most pressing. We have to have equal infrastructure for everyone. It has to be equal. I mean, we can't have, if you go into my district, we have Sonoma Ranch that has all these wonderful roads, wonderful lighting, water, and sewage, and then you go up 3 or 4 miles up into the East Mesa, and there's people still on septic tanks and having difficulty obtaining water and difficulty getting to the main roads because of the condition of the roads. And, pardon me, I've been, as an interpreter, I've been working with different people throughout the community interpreting. And one thing that has become so obvious to me, especially since this pandemic hit, was the lack of broadband in this county. And because of confidentiality issues, I can't go into details, but I was involved with a drug court, and we have people calling in from Chaparral, from Berino, from Sunland Park, from Hatch, to visit with their drug court judges, to visit with their counselors. We have children using Wi-Fi to attend school right now, and it's so spotty throughout the county that I just can't imagine how these people are able to function, especially the kids in our community. It's hard enough being home and trying to study and trying to be on a computer without having adequate broadband so that they can become educated, or for people that can talk to their doctors. So I think that is, for me, one of the biggest issues.
Affordable housing is another issue in the area. What do you think the county should be doing to make sure that there's adequate affordable housing?
I think, thank you, Casey. That's a good question. You know, being able to afford a good place to live is so important to everyone. And right now, the county has partnerships with Mesilla Valley Public Housing Authority, Sunland Park Housing Authority, and Tierra del Sol to help provide our citizens that reside within this country with affordable housing. As I visited with the people in District 4, I've become aware that there's so many people on a waiting list for housing. It's incredible. And so when elected, I promise I will work on making sound decisions on where to place growth and what kind of development will strengthen our existing communities in District 4 and work towards providing more affordable housing for people in our district. Because as I said before, being able to afford a good place to live is important to every single constituent.
You mentioned partnerships. Recycling is now a joint venture between the City of Las Cruces and Doñana County. Are there other areas that the city and county should be working together to coordinate services?
Well, I think I remember this question from a previous questionnaire, and I know that in the county we have different collection centers. There's some in Hatch, there's some in Hill, Garfield, Anthony, La Mesa, La Union, Mesquite, and there's one on the East Mesa, and it escapes my mind right now. And these centers allow for residents to drop off recyclables. But I think it's most important that we, as a county, work with the city in providing more education for citizens on the importance of keeping our environment safe. And I'll tell you a short story. My son and I were putting up my campaign signs a few weeks ago, and I was out about in the county, and it was shocking to me. We came to a corner, and we were putting up our stakes, and it was just out in the desert, and there was so much trash out there, mm-hmm. plastics, aluminum, paper, and I would love a clean and healthy environment for everyone, but if we can educate our constituents as to what is recyclable, what can't be recycled more, to educate them further, and I'm not saying there's not any education, I'm saying more education, and we can partner that with the city and provide it in English and Spanish, and then coordinate on having bigger sites where we can recycle glass, for example, and so that our constituents and our citizens have places that they really know about so that the recycling can be done, because this trash is incredible throughout the community.
Let's move on to the County Triage Center, something that sat for so long. At this stage, what do you think the county needs to do to make sure that triage center is functioning as it was meant to?
Well, I can tell you that the county was hired a consultant, and that consultant is to gather data and make recommendations about the local crisis response system and how the triage center is going to be best utilized. And so there's going to be different recommendations for planning the triage center, which is going to include developing a business plan to determine how sustainable it is and to better predict the county's obligation to the triage center. I know that we're working with a recovery innovation. It's an organization that operates triage centers throughout the different states. And I think that the county needs to work with local agencies to better improve the exchange of information so that people in this community can be monitored after they're released from jail and to identify people that really need these services. Having worked in the court system before, I know that the answer is not to put everybody in jail. We have people that have drug addictions. We have people that have mental illnesses. And I think this will be a wonderful way of working together as a community, also working together with law enforcement and working together with the detention center to better serve the population in our community that hasn't been served before and that has just been put in jail. Sometimes I see people that have mental health issues. It's like a revolving door. They go into a crime is committed. They go into court. They're put in jail. They serve their time, come back out. A few months later, the same thing happens. And so I am excited about being able to be a part of addressing the needs of people that have behavioral health issues and those kinds of things in this community, and so that we can provide better services for them.
Yeah, that's one of the areas of policing that we've been talking a lot about lately, and that's mental health crises. And this is obviously one area where we're hoping to improve. How else would you improve policing throughout Doniana County?
That's a great question, Casey. I have worked with police officers for many years now, and as a judge, I was very fortunate to work with several sheriffs one-on-one and know a little about what they were doing in our communities in Hatch and in the county, in Sunland Park, because the city's a different entity. I'm looking forward to working with Sheriff Kim Stewart and her officers. It's been my experience in the past that we've been very fortunate that our sheriff's department has officers that are very caring. I really like the idea of community policing because you have officers out there getting to know the people in their communities. For example, in Anthony, and that's something I saw because I was a traveling judge to Anthony, where the police officers would go in and talk to the people in a certain neighborhood and make sure that they had their phone number. But I look forward to working with a Sheriff Stewart. I think she's doing a good job. I think that we can help with planning of how the Sheriff's Department will be funded in the future. I need to know a little bit more about it. So I know this on a superficial level, but I look forward to working with her.
Sure. Homelessness is an important issue in Doniana County. With the little bit of time that we have left, what more do you think that the county can do to reduce homelessness?
Well, I need to give out a shout out to the board of directors and the executive directors and the staff of Mesilla Valley Camp Hope and Casa de Peregrinos. I think they've been doing an extraordinary job. As we all in this community, we've seen that the homelessness has it's just so sad for me. And it's really, really increased. A lot of it has to do with this pandemic. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. But we have to work together as a community to address this. We can't have children or people living in the streets without food or shelter. Everyone should have that, and especially children. Children should have a safe place to live. They should have food to eat. And if we work with our non-for-profit agencies here in town to help people in need and have a safe place for them to sleep, I mean, we need to start identifying and providing more shelter services, case management, and permanent housing programs. So I look forward to working with those non-for-profit agencies, and I look forward to working with the commissioners to address that. It's a very important issue in this community.
All right. District 4 candidate for Doniana County Commission, Susana Chaparro, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and participating in our candidate forum.
Casey, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. And I'd just like to remind all the listeners to please make a plan for voting. And this election is very important to this entire country. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Voice of the Public from KRWG Public Media. Today, a candidate forum for the contested races for Doniana County Commission. We just wrapped up the candidates for District 4. There is a third candidate on the ballot, independent Buck Bonner, but he did not return our emails or phone calls. Now we'll move on to District 5, and we'll begin with Democrat Manuel Sanchez. Welcome to KRWG Public Media. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your background and what qualifications you bring to the Doniana County Commission?
So I'll start with the fact that I grew up for a good portion of my life in Anthony. It wasn't until junior high, high school that my parents moved to El Paso, but where I graduated from Franklin High School. But my roots in Doña Ana County go back to my grandparents. My paternal grandfather was a bracero. My father worked the fields and ended up, he was the first in our family to go to college, and can't pass that on to me. They, you know, my parents really helped push me to strive for what I wanted. I ended up, was able and got lucky to be accepted at MIT to study mechanical engineering. And so once I graduated in 2001 with my Bachelor of Science in Engineering, I started with General Electric in their aircraft engine division within one of their leadership programs. I started with GE back in 2001. In 2007, I actually moved to their power services division, and so have been with them since then in various roles and capacities, in various roles of leadership. For the past 20 years with GE, I've been doing various roles in direct leadership, indirect leadership, management of contracts and customers. So I have a wide experience base that I think has really helped lend itself to being in as a commissioner. On top of that, I'm married. I have three daughters, 10, 8, and 6. And so I get the fun of also being a parent along with working. But I think all the experiences that I've had here locally growing up here since being back, and then all the other experiences across the U.S., I think have really helped round out my experience that gives me different points of view and management styles that I bring to the county commission.
All right. And what is it that you would say or what are the most pressing issues facing Doña Ana County and your district in particular?
I guess if we can put aside the pandemic for now. Really, a lot of it, I think, goes back to infrastructure and the services we provide to our residents and the businesses. What's really unique about District 5 is that we have the urban section, which is the northern part of Las Cruces. But then you start going further north and you get into all the smaller communities, the colonias, like Doña Ana, Radium Springs, Salem, Hatch, all the way up to Garfield. You have a totally different dynamic that you have to be aware of and really try to work with and be able to manage both. And so one of the things that I've, since being appointed in April of last year, have done was try to have consistent meetings out in the community. So before the pandemic, we were having meetings within the different communities about once a month, and they would rotate. So it would be like we have one in Radium Springs and in Hatch, then we'd have one in Garfield and in Doña Ana. And so getting those inputs or the input from the constituents themselves have really helped with that. But what I've seen is this, is that they have a lot of issues with infrastructure. We need to improve broadband service. We need to improve drainage and flood control, roads. So those are the really kind of the big needs. If we can't address them for our residents, which, you know, we're working on, it's harder for us to be able to attract businesses that will want to relocate here, because they're going to be looking for similar things. They've been looking for the infrastructure and places for their employees to live.
One of the issues facing our region and many across the country is the increase in homelessness. What more do you think Doña Ana County should be doing to address that problem?
Well, within, I think there's a few things. Is that one, we work within the programs that we have within our Health and Human Services program and the Mesilla Valley Housing Authority, along with Tierra del Sol. I mean, there's several partners that we have in this, but I think we have to look and see what the programs we have. I know locally here in Las Cruces, we have the Community of Hope that brings them in and tries to find opportunities for people. But I think it's similar, is that we have to identify those needs in the community. How do we get number one, housing assistance, but number two, how do we get people to become self-sufficient and give them the skills they need to be able to sustain for themselves, to have a job, and find those opportunities. So one of the things that we've done, and this is one of the things that we've tried, is that I know in the northern part of the county, we've never had, it's mainly agricultural based, right, a lot of what we see here. But when we want to expand and get them access to education and such, we never had the bus service the way the other parts of the county have. And so now, last year, we introduced bus service that now runs all the way from Garfield into Las Cruces by all of the health centers, and also by Doniana Community College and MSU, so that, you know, those, it's not particularly the homeless, but those that that really need support in being able to, you know, to need the training and education, we started having those abilities to get them to places. So I think it still goes back to infrastructure, but we have to work with our partners to find the best opportunities to reach the most people to address homelessness, but also, you know, how do we help people get job training and things that they may need, or health services that will help benefit them.
You've mentioned infrastructure a lot, and kind of as a peripheral issue to that, and the homelessness or near homelessness problem in our area. How do you think the county needs to support the creation of affordable housing?
Back a few years ago, and this is something I was starting to get a little more educated on by working with our partners, is I think we have a loan program that we might be able to look at to be able to help provide some funding for programs to be able to create some more opportunities for that. I think the other part of it is that we need to, you know, one partner I see in particular is Tierra del Sol. How do we continue to work with the federal and the state level so that we can identify more opportunities for funding, or even in the northern part of the county, because where we have migrants and migrant workers that might need that type of housing. So I think there's a couple of opportunities there that the county can use, programs that are already existing or haven't been used in the past, that we can take a look at and reevaluate and see how we can work with our partners to benefit those individuals and okay. families.
Thank you. And moving on to a topic that's been an issue for years now, and maybe we're starting to see some progress. Well, we are, for the County Triage Center. What measures do you think should be taken to ensure that it is adequately funded and working for the community?
So the first part, yeah, you're absolutely right. We approved the vendor, RII International, that is going to come in and operate. They're in the process right now. They've already submitted their application to the state. The state has started to review the application. So once they get up and running, there is, per their contract, we have they're to be evaluated through a community advisory council. And so that community advisory council will then work with the county and the county commission to be able to provide feedback to ensure that they're operating as they should, they're effective, whatever the feedback may be. So I think when we look at that, that'll be one of the things we'll be looking for to be able to know what steps we can take next is going to be that feedback. I think the second part of it when you come to funding is, and this is one of the critical parts that was brought up during the presentation, is making sure that when there was going to be getting a lot of the funding was supposed to be coming through different medical programs or insurance. So we'll have to take a look at that and determine, you know, how the triage center is operating. But I think it's going to be critical that we're using the community advisory board to be able to look at and get their feedback to make sure, is it an issue with funding? Is it an issue with operations? You know, what particularly, if there are any issues, that we can get them addressed. And I think that's going to be part of the contract, is that it's not a long-term contract. It is, we have the ability to approve it annually, but that'll be all taken into account by the county.
I see. The triage center is an idea to keep people out of jail who don't need to be there. People are suffering from mental health crises. And there's been a lot of talk recently about whether police should be responding to these types of incidents or how. In what way do you think policing should be reformed in this area or others?
I think there's a couple of pieces to that. I think number one, when you're looking at the city versus the county, I think there's inherent differences between the way the policing happens. When you're looking in the county and the sheriff's department, because they've got to cover such a large area, they have to absolutely be committed more to community policing. And I think that's one of the differences that I think in the city, although that works also, and that's where they need to get to. I just think they're more reliant on it than, say, the city, just because they're more in a dense area. But going along with that, I believe that when we're looking at the police and our law enforcement are having to wear so many hats when they go out to a call, and I believe we need to start looking at ways that we can help address some of those issues and help support them, so they're not always having to be addressing all these things. In particular, I think one of the things we look at that's come up is the mobile crisis triage units, right, where they would go on to mental health crisis rather than having to work with or the police having to go police or sheriff's department. Now, in the meantime, I think one of the things that we'll have to work with is making sure that we're working with their training to a note so that they know how to de-escalate. But I think that's one of the things we need to look at, is how do we start giving them support so that they don't have to wear so many of these hats and can really focus on their primary mission.
And with the minute or so that we have left, recycling, now a joint venture between the city and county, are there other ways that you think the city and county should be coordinating services?
That one, within the county, I think we don't have enough opportunities for recycling. One of the things we need to look at is how do we, I know one of the South Central Solid Waste Authority had been looking at creating franchise areas within the county to be able to create mandatory services, much like in the city. And then I think that might open up more opportunities to residents to be able to receive more recycling services. But I think it's something we're going to have to work together with the city and the board that represents or helps manage the South Central Solid Waste Authority.
All right. Manny Sanchez, candidate for County Commissioner in Doñana County, District 5. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Casey. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's time for our final candidate in District 5 for our Doñana County Commission Candidate Forum today on Voice of the Public. Republican Robert Flora, welcome to KRWG Public Media. Why don't you begin the same way by telling us a little bit about your background and what qualifications you bring to the Doñana County Commission?
Okay. Not sure how you want to start with that.
That's entirely up to you.
Well, I've lived in Radium Springs for 26 years. I retired from the Air Force after 20 years, and then after 19 and a half years, I retired from NMSU. I'm an electronics technician by trade. I actually worked for AggieVision for a number of years with satellite uplink facilities. And so I'm also a master trainer, and I've traveled quite internationally, both when I was in the military and then after my job as a training manager for a software company.
And what would you say are the most pressing issues facing Doñana County and District 5?
Jobs are definitely on the top of the ticket. We really haven't been able to ascertain what the budget is going to be coming forward with the COVID. We're good now, but just not sure what the revenues are going to be because of state funds and county funds.
And what would you do to remedy that situation?
Well, we'll have to prioritize. There's no, you know, as not like a federal, you know, where we can take a deficit. We have to balance the books. So we would have to go back through and prioritize the reduction of any income and then put the things at the top of the list to get done.
What do you think the county could do to assure access to affordable housing?
They have had some, I'm trying to find this here that I'd read about. As far as I know right now, we don't have a fixed plan for our affordable housing ordinance that was in draft in 2015. So we'd want to revisit that and make sure that we could address that. And then because of the COVID funding, to see how the balance would come out from that, we've got a number of funds from that, and so that would be very important to do that.
And homelessness is an issue in Doñana County. What more do you think the county can do to reduce homelessness?
Both state and federal resources to Doñana County that can help people with get funding to for not being homeless. I don't know exactly what the specifics that we could do, but we would definitely have to look at that as how to deal with that. We already have a lot of private things like the Hope, but I can't.
Camp Hope.
Yes, and things like that. So we need to sort of tag team to do what private does versus the county.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the county's triage center. Finally, some action being taken on getting it functioning. What do you think that the county should be doing to ensure that the triage center operates with adequate staff and funding?
Well, we got the initial funding for that through the RII, and so I think we had an annual approximately $276,000, and of course, there's a lot of stuff, certifications and things that have to get done first. So we're waiting on the state to do that. And then what I would like to see is that we have at least probably on a quarterly basis whether we have a another commissioner or something along that line that would monitor that so that we are meeting our annual guideline.
Recycling is a joint venture now between the city of Las Cruces and Doñana County. Are there other ways that you think the city and county should be coordinating services?
Of course, the South Central Solid Waste Authority is delegated to provide those services, and I would like to see more in the county allowed for recycling services for individuals. So, for instance, in Radiant Springs, they have a recycle bin, but it's only one, and it's only once a week. So if we can improve those things for recycling, then it will go a long ways in minimizing the recyclable services.
And finally, policing has been a big topic of conversation both nationally and also locally. What ways do you think the county could improve policing?
I believe, you know, the state accord has mandated the video systems. I can't think of the name of it, but you know, all officers are required to wear their video.
The body cameras.
Yes, body cams, and so and then I know that there is sort of, I can't think of that because I saw this today. Was a joint review board for any kind of you know, deaths, whatever it happens to be. And I think that's a good thing to bring the bring everybody together, and then to some more training of officers to be able to communicate with the public.
All right. That's all of my questions, Mr. Flora. Thank you so much for participating in our candidate forum today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our Voice of the Public Candidate Forum with the contested races for Doñana County Commission in District 4, which is Eastern and Northern Las Cruces, and District 5, which is Western and Northern Las Cruces. Thanks to the candidates, Stacy Durham, Susana Chaparro, Manuel Sanchez, and Robert Flora, for participating today. If you missed any portion of the show, you will be able to find it at krwg.org. You can find all the past episodes of Voice of the Public. Click on Local Radio and Voice of the Public. And we invite you to tune in next Friday on Voice of the Public at 1 o'clock when we welcome Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse-Oliver just days before the election, with just a couple of days of early voting left to go at that point. And we'll see how her office has prepared for this unprecedented election and what has been happening so far across the state. Join us next Friday, once again, for Voice of the Public on KRWG Public Media. This is KC Counts. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Up next, it's Leora Zeitlin with Intermezzo by Request. And at 4 o'clock, tune in for All Things Considered. Fred Martino will be joining you. Emily Guerra returns tonight for your Friday fiesta from KRWG Public Media.